I don't know about you, but every year as Christmas approaches, I find myself looking out and waiting for the new Christmas adverts on TV. And for me, John Lewis sets quite a high bar. Somehow, in a couple of minutes, they manage to tell a whole emotional story, a story of longing, love, loneliness, and hope. In their own way, I think they often echo the emotional landscape of Advent. But one advert in particular has stuck with me over the years. You may remember it. It was The Man on the Moon from 2017. It begins with a little girl prodding her brother, desperate to use his telescope. And so she looks into the telescope, finds the moon, zooms further in, and there is a man coming out of his house. Very, very likely correct. No. And what she does every day from there, whether she's coming back from school or whatever, she rushes back to the telescope to check on how the man is doing. And he walks up to a bench and he sits there. And she tries to find a way of getting a message to him. She tries paper aeroplanes. She tries a bow and arrow to fire something. Nothing is working. And then, of course, Christmas Day comes. She rushed down the stairs. And what she is given is a bunch of balloons. And she ties balloons to a package. And what you see is this parcel floating to the man on the moon. Again, if NASA knew, all you needed was a couple of balloons. But the point, he unwraps the present and in it a telescope. And so he is able to peer to spot Earth and zooms in closer and closer and finds the girl in her house looking back at him through her own telescope. And I think it's that moment. The simple lifting of a lonely face captures something deep about this day, Gaudete Sunday. As we've said, it means rejoice. Traditionally, as Caroline has said, a lighter day breaking from the strictest Advent, the strictures of Advent, which focuses on fasting as an act of preparation. And so today, I want us to think about joy, but not one that speaks of fizzy happiness of tinsel and markets and mulled wine. It's not the thrill of everything going well. The joy of Advent is quieter, steadier, deeper. It is the joy that finds its way into lonely places and hard places. A joy that at times whispers, God has not forgotten you. God is drawing near. And I think this is the type of joy spoken about in Isaiah. Isaiah writing to a people who feel as though they've been left in a desert of exile. They're weary, they're fearing. Everything around them feels dry and lifeless. Yet into that wasteland, Isaiah speaks one of Scripture's most breathtaking promises. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. The burning sand shall become a pool. And the ransom of the Lord shall return with singing. But Isaiah's joy here is not rooted in circumstances. It is rooted in God. It's not the joy of that perfect world. It's the joy of a God who is going to bring life where it seems impossible. And a promise that God will remember his people. Because here Isaiah is seeing a future in which the wilderness becomes a highway to holiness. A transformed creation where the weak are strengthened, the fearful given courage, the broken made whole. And I think this is why this particular reading is for today, for Advent today, because Advent, isn't it? It's a season where we're living in the in-between. We're looking back to the old promises and forward to their fulfillment in Christ. And so in other words, Isaiah was saying, God is not distant to you. He's not absent. He's not forgotten you. In fact, joy is coming and it is already at work. think it's the same longing we do see in that John Lewis advert. Someone forgotten is suddenly remembered. But Isaiah is giving that message on a cosmic scale. And then we turn to the gospel reading, and suddenly everything has changed again. We're no longer standing in a blossoming desert. We're sitting in a dark prison cell. John the Baptist, that fiery preacher in the wilderness, the one who pointed at Jesus and proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God," is now in chains. And he sends Jesus a question filled with ache. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? I think it's one of the most honest questions that we read in Scripture. Because it tells us that even John, that great forerunner, the one with such courage and clarity, knew what it was to wrestle with doubt and fear. It wasn't just that John couldn't see Jesus from his cell. It was that Jesus wasn't acting in the way John expected a Messiah to act. John had preached fire and judgment and acts laid at the root. But Jesus was healing, forgiving, lifting up the poor and forgotten. And so John, I think, rightly wonders, have I misunderstood? Is this really how the kingdom is coming? And did you see how Jesus responds in it? He doesn't mock John for his questions. He doesn't call him weak. He doesn't tell him to pull himself together and get back onto his fiery preaching steadiness. No. He tells John's disciples to go back and tell them what he's seen, that the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the lepers are being cleansed, the deaf are hearing. In other words, John, joy is breaking into the world, but just not in the way you are expecting. And I love it. Right at the end of that gospel message, Jesus turns to the crowd and praises John, calling him the greatest ever born, not in spite of his question, potentially even because of his question. And so we take these three scenes, Isaiah in the wilderness, John in prison, the man on the moon, and I think a single truth emerges. God's joy is not something we manufacture, it's something that comes to find us. Whether we're feeling in desert lands, in prisons, in loneliness, in waiting. Because a Christian joy is not a mood. It's the steady presence of God. The God who remembers. The God who restores. The God who draws near. And so today, Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, rejoice. We rejoice because God is near. We rejoice because Christ is coming. We rejoice because the kingdom is already breaking in. Sometimes more quietly, more gently, and often in ways the world overlooks. And so today, may we go from this place, yes, waiting and hoping for Emmanuel to come with us, but also rejoicing. Because Christ is coming, Christ is near, and Christ is with us. Amen.